Oh, the other question I was going to ask you, and it was real important, and I've just... Oh, yes. Now, if you weren't playing music, what would you be doing?
Oh, the hypothetical question, yes.
Yeah, entertainment orientated.
If I wasn't playing music, what would I be doing?
Like acting or anything of that nature?
Oh, in the entertainment sphere, I'm just trying to think. Oh, I'd love to be... is a record producer too similar?
Yeah.
It is, okay, forget that one.
Well, actually, no, it's not really.
It's funny because I did some production work on a friend of mine, one of his songs, and that was a really good experience, being able to not be the guy up front singing, yeah, and you know, but just be, you know, playing instruments or just sort of producing it, recording it. So probably somewhere in that side. Oh, gosh, no, I really want to be a songwriter and singer. I don't know. That's what I really want to, what I'm doing. But, I suppose production, anything to do with entertainment and music, you know, original music. Mm. I don't know. I'm a printing sales rep at the moment, which is totally different, and that's a lot of fun too. There's a lot of challenges in that, and that's... that's a business development role. I work for a company called Irwin's Printing, irwinsprinting.com.au. There's a plug, Mick, if you're listening, and Doug and the boys and girls. They're a great company. They're an A2 offset printer, and I sort of work there during the day, and my job there is to you know, get new clients for printing. So I suppose if I had another career that I wasn't in printing, because I'm doing printing, which is great, but if I wasn't doing printing and I wasn't doing music, I'd probably be interested in business development in the music industry, like marketing or something like that. That will probably be really good, because it's kind of the other hat that I wear with the band. I'm doing that anyway.
Sort of a mixture of it,
and that's quite interesting. And I've had a few opportunities to be a part of music libraries in America. There's a few you know, for film and television, they always look for songs to play, as you know, in TV shows and things like that in the background.
So
I've recently signed some deals with some companies overseas. Nothing's come of that as yet, but I'm on their books, and so that's quite an interesting area. You know, synchronisation of music and film as well.
How would you go writing something like that?
Well, I don't know. Like, there's two ways to me. You can approach it like, I'm going to write a jingle, or I'm going to write, you know, it could be as basic as a strumming acoustic guitar, and it's just incidental music. There's these websites that are up where you can basically upload your music, and people search for a 10-second sort of little flamenco guitar, and, you know, you could write a little flamenco piece and just put it up there and call it flamenco guitar, and then people buy that and put that on their films and TV shows and things like that. I thought of doing that, and that'd be interesting to do, but my heart's in songwriting.
Yeah.
So I figure if I can marry the two, where people actually use the song in a film or something like that, that would give me a lot of fulfillment, rather than, you know, putting together a little flamenco piece of something that probably really doesn't mean too much to me.
Yeah.
Well, that'd be a cool little job to have too, if you could pay the bills.
Yeah. Well. Yeah.
But you know, I'm hoping to get that big hit that gets on Grey's Anatomy, and, you know, and overnight becomes like the number one downloaded song on iTunes, you know.
Yeah.
That's what I hope for, but, you know, it's probably never going to happen.
Well, I have to be positive about this. It's really just a matter of having something there.
Yeah.
So it's got a good chance of being in the right place at the right time.
Well, that's right. You never know. I mean, I was just kidding, but you always hope in the back of your mind that, you know, the more that you're involved in things, and you're trying different opportunities, like playing live's one, releasing a record, promoting it, doing your website, getting out on radio, you know, you meet people, and, you know, most people are really nice and genuine, and if they can sort of get a hold of what you're trying to do with your music and stuff, you know, maybe they might buy in on it as well, and, you know, you might come across someone who places music on TV shows by chance, and it's wonderful if those sort of things happen, and they're the sort of things you hope. So, yeah, I don't know if that answers your question. What was the question?
Yeah, it sort of does. It sounds to me like you're very lucky with having a very supporting wife that allows you to do all these sort of things.
Yes.
A lot of married people, in a family situation, get so involved in the family that they just haven't got time to pursue anything except for their one job, and that's it.
Yeah.
But it sounds like you're in a really good position there.
Yeah, I'm really fortunate. Nerida's an amazing woman. She's a country girl, and the funny thing is our lifestyles really suit each other. She's a morning person, whereas I'm more of a night person.
Yep.
So she can go to bed at 8:30, 9 o'clock, you know. She gets to bed really early.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'll head down the studio or, you know, write some songs or do some recording. And so I'm kind of blessed in that way. And, you know, or if I've got a rehearsal, you know, I'll come home, have dinner with a... Actually, no, normally we usually just go straight out to rehearsal because I go from work. But, you know, hopefully I can try and go home and see the kids if the studio's close by, if we rehearse in Hallam or somewhere like that, and put them to bed or whatever, or say goodnight to them and then be off. And Nerida goes to bed a couple of hours later anyway, so it's kind of good in that way. She gets her rest and I get my lack of sleep as a result. Yeah, I'm up all sorts of hours.
Yeah, but it sounds like you both have your family unit together, your time together.
Yeah.
Even without the kids.
Yeah.
And also you have your own space.
Yeah, it's a pretty busy life. But you know what they say about busy people, they just get busier.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's a good blend, yeah.
Right. Now, we want to listen to another song. Any particular song you like for first album and second album?
Yeah, I was thinking of the new album. There's a song called Not That Bad At All, which is track 5 on the album.
Track 5.
Yeah.
Okay, we shall find that. Yep.
Yep.
Ready to go. And we'll have a listen to this. Southern FM. Lindsay Crawford at the controls. We have Victor and Matt with us from Methinks.
Yes.
Victor Stranger and Methinks. That's right. Pronounced right, isn't it?
Oh, Victor Stranges. Strangers. Yes, it's an unusual name.
Yes.
It's actually Italian, believe it or not.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think derived from the Vikings, though. I think these people kept moving. And when they went, I think, to France, I think they became Lestrange, the Strangers.
Ah.
And they moved from, and then they ended up settling in Italy as well, and were very wealthy sort of people, but that didn't go down to my generation.
Right. That's a fascinating story.
Yeah.
You ever been back to any of these countries and tried to trace any of that?
Not the history of Strangers, but I've been back to Italy a couple of times. I went in, oh gosh, in 1976 with the family. I was about 6 years old then, five or six.
All right.
And I went back there in 1992 with a few friends and family as well, and sort of travelled around Europe and... Yeah, that was a really good experience. Yeah. Italy's quite an amazing place. It's funny. Like the north of Italy is so beautiful. You go to a place like Como, and it's better than a postcard. Imagine the best postcard you can of Italy, and it doesn't even compare. You know, it's just fantastic. Near the lake there, we stayed there at a friend of mine, Frank Mascaro. His cousins live there, and then we the more south you get, the more sort of rugged it gets. And, you know, we went down to Rome and, you know, it was a real eye-opener because when we got off at the airport at Rome, I think it was initially, saw how people park their cars. They kind of, if the car park's too small, they'll use their bumper bar at their discretion and they'll move the car with their car.
Really?
And I thought, what's going on here? But apparently it's normal. I don't know if it is still, but it was kind of bizarre. And the further south you get, they've got very rare at that time in 1992, they've got traffic lights, but no one uses them. Like there's a really busy town, there's one set of traffic lights and they're red, but everyone still goes through anyway. It's kind of like, you know, there is a token gesture, I think, but they've probably advanced since 1992, I'd imagine. I'm not sure. But I remember, never forget walking across a little street in the shopping centre in Nicastro, which is down south. And it's kind of like, you know, Abbey Road, the cover, how you got the crossing there?
Yep.
Sort of going through one of those crossings, and I thought, oh, yeah, there's this car that's doing, because everyone drives pretty fast around there, and, you know, they don't wear seatbelts or anything like that, and, you know, this is like a 40 or 50 zone type thing, and some guy was like, you know, about a kilometre out doing about 150 k's. I thought, I'm going to walk across here, I'll be fine. And I had to run.
Yeah?
Yeah, no, he obviously didn't see me.
Oh, right.
Yeah, so that was pretty cool. And another great experience was in Naples. My uncle picked us up from Rome, drove us all the way from Rome down to, because we come from Calabria, and got to Naples, and he stopped his car, and I think he got some petrol and stuff, and these guys come up to him and were offering to sell him cassettes, you know, like audio cassettes. This is sort of CDs had just started coming in, late 80s, early 90s, but they were, cassettes were big. And these guys are really full on harassing him, and he ended up relenting, saying, okay, I'll buy it. And I said, why don't you do that? He goes, oh, you got to do it here. Otherwise, you know, I said, oh, really? Okay, fair enough. That's the way it works here. Again, you know, Naples is probably, you know, on the whole, a really nice place, but that was just an interesting thing that happened down south there. Yeah. Things went south, down south.
Fascinating.
Yeah, that's Italy.
Different part of the world.
Yeah.
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 Well, if I ever get there, I'll take advance warning from that.
Yeah, and yeah, bring a friend because they can smell someone who's not a local a mile away.
Oh,
yeah, right. And count your change.
Yeah.
Yeah. My brother got a bank tried to rip off my brother. A bank, would
a
you
bank?
Believe? Yeah, he went there with some, I don't know if it was Australian dollars or something. Vince, if you're listening, you'll remember the story. And he wanted to get change, and they said, no, this is what you get. He goes, no, look, I've done the calculation, this is what I'm supposed to get. And I think he argued for like 10, 15 minutes. And then they eventually got the bank manager, and they said, sorry, we made a mistake, here's your... Yeah. Yeah, it was kind of like, you know, they were trying to pull a sharp, you know, sort of shafting him. It was funny.
Oh,
that was interesting, you know. Just yeah, I suppose it's like that in any country. You know, here comes the foreigner. Hey, let's
well, yes,
yeah, let's
yeah.
take
Put
advantage.
The prices
of it.
Up for a start.
Yeah, that's yeah. right. Probably happens here, you know.
Well, yeah.
I'm sure it does.
Most things can happen in Australia.
Yeah,
in this part of the planet, most things and do and can and still will in the future, I should think. Mm. Okay, Matt. Now, what are you planning on doing for your future?
I have no idea, actually. I'd really like to just roll with this for the moment. I really enjoy playing in bands, and it works for me. I love it.
Mm-hmm.
At the moment, I just work in a surf shop selling clothes, it's a cool job. It doesn't take me anywhere. I just sit there, sell stuff, rearrange stuff in the shop, and then the boss puts it back in the place it was. And hi, Rick.
You don't look like a surfer, yeah, Matt.
No, not at all. I don't actually surf.
I was going to ask you about
that. Part of the
that.
Irony.
You need to dye your hair blonde.
Yeah.
And put some, you know, suntan lotion on.
I probably should get slap. Dreadlocks and
And play John Butler here. Music.
I don't really have much of an ambition. I mean, I'd like to work in a recording studio. I mean, I've studied a lot of recording stuff. Like, I know how to use Pro Tools. I could, if I was given a studio, I'd be able to sit in there and operate it fairly well, I would imagine. I'd like to get into recording, but I think actually playing music is where my passion is, and I really enjoy that.
Nothing quite like being on stage in front of an audience.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
it's a lot of fun and kind of exhilarating.
When you're on stage, do you look in the audience and see funny things happening, or haven't you really thought about doing too much of that?
I haven't really picked up. It's more the funny stuff that happens on stage because we're so, I guess, intensely watching each other, seeing what each other do. Sometimes somebody plays something by accident and it actually sounds really awesome. I'm sure Darren's done that a couple of times, and it's just worked so well. We thought, we should have recorded that. rolling with it.
It's funny. Yeah, I agree with that, man. It's the best things happen by accident sometimes.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's like that story of Keith Richards when he wrote Jumpin' Jack Flash. He was actually trying to play a Chuck Berry riff, and he kind of made a mistake, and it turned into Jumpin' Jack Flash by accident. I thought, that sounds great, let's keep it, and, you know, roll with it.
Wow. That's
one of their best songs.
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
Heath Richards, he was a legend. He is a legend.
He's still alive, too.
Yeah. And still
that's
playing.
The miracle, you know.
Yeah. And I saw an interview of him a while ago, and his hands got starting to get arthritis in
only
his
now.
Hands. Yeah. Wow. But he still plays.
Wow.
He still handles it. Amazing.
They're probably the first band that you sort of see that started really young. Like, because rock and roll is a pretty new thing, isn't it? It's like 1950s.
Mm.
They're sort of the first almost rock band that you've seen from a very young age moving into retirement. And they're probably going to be in the Rolling Stones till the day they die. And you think, wow, that's an amazing life. And you sort of look back. That's never happened before.
No.
So to actually see that even at their age now, is quite an amazing thing. I suppose with blues artists, you know, that's been happening for a number of years because blues has been around a lot longer, which obviously the Stones derived from the blues and all that type of stuff. Yeah. Robert Johnson, and, you know, Robert Johnson's been dead for many years, but, you know, with the passing of all the great blues people, you know, it's sort of starting to happen to rock and roll people, and it's really sad, you know, but it just, it's quite amazing. Yeah.
It happened. Because at one stage, the only rock and rollers that usually died were people that died from drugs or something of that nature, or car accidents.
Yeah, that's right.
But now they're starting to just go from old age, which is fascinating. Yes, I seem to remember reading in a magazine once somewhere about it had something about Doctor Who, and Doctor Who was sort of still fighting the Daleks and some distant planet. The Stones were still on tour somewhere. It's quite funny. Anyway, now another song.
Yes.
What's the next one you'd like?
Yeah, sure. Well, going off the same album, because we're sort of featuring the album Hello Me to You.
Oh, yes. Excuse me for interrupting. Yes. Before you do, on the front of your album, you're standing here with a shovel. What's the shovel for?
Oh, okay. I was afraid you were going to ask that, Lindsay.
Well, it's a green shovel.
Yeah, it's a green shovel. Yeah, it's... I was just taking some photos at my young daughter, Kiara. She's only 8 years old. I said, come on, we're going to take some photos for the album for Daddy, you know.
Yeah.
Oh, cool, you know. And we were just picking up props, you know, things that we found on the ground. And that there was a shovel there, you know, let's pick up the shovel, Kiara. Yeah, cool, take a photo. And it's funny, it actually doesn't really mean anything. It was just a shot. And, you know, when I looked at it, it kind of reminded me of those Captain Beefheart albums from the late 60s where, you know, he's got a trout mask on his face, or you know, where they're holding flowers or just holding stupid things.
Yeah.
You know, and recently, or a few years ago, Morrissey had an album. What was it called, Matt?
Morrissey, You Are the Quarry.
You Are the Quarry, where he's holding a Tommy gun.
Yeah.
And I thought, well, it's not a gun, it's just a shovel. And it didn't appear apparent to me that it looked like a violent album cover until someone pointed it out to me after we'd pressed it. And I thought, oh, yeah, you could take it that way, because I do look like a bit of an undertaker with the shovel. But it was purely meant to be in jest. And the blurriness of the photo was a homage to Blonde on Blonde, Bob Dylan. You know, it's just one of those things that just sort of happened, and I just really liked it, and it's there. And now I'm looking for a sponsor that is interested in sponsoring me, you know, a shovel company or something like that. Maybe we can work out a cross promotion of Hello Me to You with a shovel. I'm in the market for that, and any way to monetize my songs and things like that. So
You can look at this and you can see all sorts of things in it. I mean, the shovel's green for a start, so you can sort of promoting the greenness of planet Earth or something like that. It's like a greenie. Especially with a shovel, digging for victory or all sorts of things, or an undertaker, as you say. I hadn't thought about that one.
Yeah, I'm trying to cultivate a following. I think that's what I'm trying to do with a shovel.
Well done. Okay, now, sorry, I interrupted you with that.
No, that's okay. I want to play a track called Is There Someone to Thank for All of This? Which is track 7.